This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I am Grace Cavalieri. Hiram LaRue is here, and he is an adventurer in poetry. He has a new book out. He is an activist for hunger in this world, and we're going to hear a poem from him. Hiram, give us an opening poem.
Thank you, Grace. This first poem is going to be in the same theme of many of the others that I'll visit with you about today, all about love and its many, many guises. This is about the love of meander. It's titled Fun. For whatever gurgles or winks first or strays, for what lives like maps or rummages, and for corners near or far, or noons in love with weathered rocks, for this vista's curve and slant, or fences lost in weeds, for all the fun that sideway makes, and especially for whatever shares the shade.
That is Hiram LaRue, which shows he has no reverence for the linear. And if you've never heard Hiram, this is going to be an eye-opener. It is going to show you what poetry can do. That is not from your new work, Patchy Ways, is it?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Okay, then tell us about what's in this book.
Well, Patchy Ways is written from point of view of somebody who is very privileged, acknowledges that, and at the same time acknowledges, because of that, the sense of joy, of discovery, of really wonder in being here this day and age, being alive in this world, and being able to walk out into it and appreciate what's going on, almost in spite of us, what's going on in the natural world.
And how you do it makes new sense of everything. And to show everyone your skills and your daring and your originality, let's hear two poems at once.
Two poems. Okay, thank you.
And before you do that, let me at least tell them that Patchy Ways is your newest book from Cyberwit Press, and you have appeared in Poetry South, IO Review, Poetry Scotland, Contemporary American Voices, recipient of the Louisiana Literature Prize, the Washington Review Blue Ribbon. You've had many pushcart nominations. You are a guest lecturer at many universities, and that's just the beginning. Let's have two from Hiram LaRue.
Sure. Thanks, Grace. Again, in the theme of love, this is all about the love of mistakes. It first appeared in Live Encounters. It's called A Good Many. The wisdom of mistakes, their joyous failings, are all gifts of wrong sublime. In fact, a life that errors its way through each extraordinary bungle makes the stars up in heaven. And flaws are really lasting wonders in disguise. There's such a joy in sour cream. Poor choice turns bedazzling. It becomes loving bundles of handsome weeds. And let us never forget what a kinked hose really means. Its hellish tangles suddenly become the gushing holy of holies to every waiting, wilted soul.
And another.
And this piece is, I was lucky enough a while back to travel to Ireland on a writer's residency program. And of course, fell in love with the people, but also, and probably most especially, just the surrounding landscape. So this is a love song to discovery, discovery being alone, discovery that comes from being alone. It's titled Ireland, and it first appeared in Fever of the Minds. Ireland. If you had been with me, I wouldn't have wandered the orchards. I wouldn't have mossed over the edges or thought so much about the dead. I wouldn't have savored the morning's rain or stepped down into the stoned ruins so eagerly. If you had gone with me, the fuchsia shrubs wouldn't have bloomed as red, and the bogs might not have glowed amber. I love you, but if you had been with me, the stewed fish wouldn't have strummed its harp so softly.
Oh, the stewed fish. Here's a book.
Right.
Patchy Ways.
Right.
Honestly, I have spoken of your daring and your courage, but I want to talk about sunshine because sunshine just comes off every word. You are a poet of affirmation. You are the best antidepressant on the market. There is not a negative thought on the page. You have chosen, if I teach tone, I say to students, it's word choice. Diction is word choice. Every word you choose is an affirmation of being alive, appreciating life, the wonder of it, the complete, awe-inspiring amazement of it. Oh, Hiram, you must have had a happy childhood.
Grace, when you're saying all that, you're looking up, and that's what I try to do is kind of look up. The way I say it is I'm just so incredibly grateful. Oh, sure. There are down moments and frustrations and even anger. No question about it. Mm-hmm. But I think those almost reinforce the whole notion of how grateful I can, must, should be. And to some extent, some of that I do think is reflected in, word choice. And in, I also love playing with the placement of words, their role in the poem, and surprises in the poem. I always enjoy encountering surprise in poems. I just finished reading a John Ashbery poem, and I don't know how the gentleman does it, but it's just remarkable. I just love the surprise in his poems.
You have hit the perfect parallel to yourself, because what he does is energy. The way he connects unusual things is energy.
There's a gossamer connection between all of them, but it works. It's just incredible.
As with yours. And when I say, as you know, I always say poetry rinses off language, you are an exemplar of that. Now, do you write as your thought leads you and guides you, or do you throw all your words up in the air, and then when they come down, arrange them? What's your process?
My best critic, I believe, is time. So what that means is I tend to write in the heat of the moment and, of course, think it's the best thing I've ever written. And then I give myself time. I have learned that I must give myself time. And I come back and kind of go, I don't think so. Or there's something here that I can build on. Rarely do I come back and say, that was right. But so it's that process, that kind of marinating process that I find leads to fermentation and bubble. And so I enjoy giving the pieces a little bit of time. And in fact, some of the pieces, as you, I'm sure, have experienced, Grace, some of the pieces that appear in Patchy Ways, I'm even going back to today and kind of looking at and thinking, I'd like to tweak that a little bit. So it's always, an ongoing process of revision, the God of revision.
Well, I'll tell you, you make it like jazz. You make it like jazz. Let's have another poem.
Sure. Let's see. This one did not appear in Patchy Ways. It appeared in previous collection called Mud Ajar, which came out in 21. 2021 from Atmosphere Press. And it's all about the love of waking up. It's titled Our Us. Dazzle leaf these slanted nights. Be gauzy green and every most as outside lails atop our us. And so shines open love, shines budly, shines lufty new, so inside out. Treat truly green today our eyes, become above our branches' lips, and so be dawned in full word, then even more in majests more. Make razzle waking ways, but most of all, and overall, upcall our bless and glow us.
Hiram.
So that's kind of the opening of the day poem.
I teach four elements of poetry. Mm. Feeling, thinking, sensuality, and intuition. Mm. Intuition is the hardest one to do as a poet because it means to trust the reader. Mm. And of all the people I know, you trust us to make the connections. You really have faith that the reader knows everything you know, as smart as you are, as imaginative as you are, or you couldn't do what you do because you have these invisible bridges and you trust us to walk over them. And guess what? We do.
I try to provide enough cues as to, and hand coming along to not leave the reader behind, obviously. There's no point in doing that. But at the same time, I do trust that the reader can set aside the cares of the day and perhaps focus in for just a moment on another world of poetry. So, yeah.
Yeah, you trust the reader to make the connections.
Yes.
Too, because your way is always, it goes in all different directions. Mm-hmm. Let's hear another.
Okay.
Hiram LaRue is on The Poet and the Poem, and okay. We are alive and awake.
This poem was written back in the Pleistocene era. It appeared in my very first collection titled, the collection's titled Part of. It first appeared in a little journal that I don't believe is even being printed anymore called Ruby. It's titled Better Seeds. And again, it's all about the love of spring's opening, better seeds. Looking up seems early. I'm going to slip outside as soon as sprigs poke and fences shine. Scout about until you wave me in for breakfast. I'm going to lean into my wishes because this is the nickel time of spring when legs seem longer. There are better ways of learning. Ways as ready as your bird box. There are better people, ones who get polished by the wind. And there are better seeds, the kind that wait a year or two. But it's hard to wait when everything is curling. When time slips through curtains, to let us know that this chance is more than our pillows. It's quicker than that. It's kind of like our neighbor who slides a box of kale starts onto the porch first thing, chuckling not to wake us.
Hiram, you set words on edge. And they make a new sense. Do you understand that you're making a new sense? A different kind of sense? And may I ask if that is Ruby's out of print? Is that poem in a book?
Yes. That was in my very, very first collection, as I say, back when I had hair. The book was titled Part Of, and it was published by the city of Baltimore. I think you know the Artscape Festival up there. They used to award a poet the possibility of getting their book published.
Oh, that's right. It was a chapbook contest.
Yeah, it was a chapbook contest.
Because that is your Ars Poetica.
Well.
That has everything about awakening and opening and beckoning and reaching and holding.
I kind of enjoy the notion of the value of meandering, both literally meandering and then also in the poem meandering just a little bit as well.
Give us enough guardrails to hold on to, though. That is the skill. You know how far to go, and yet as I always say, there's some planks in the invisible bridge so that we never get lost. We always know what you're doing. We always know what you're feeling. Mm. And to go in unknown territory like Ashbury, that takes an enormous amount of self-confidence, or else you just don't care. Mm. Which is it?
Well, I think in my case, it's just I have to be true to my own ear, my own heart. And for me, that's where the words can take us. I often call poems tickets. I think they take us to places that we otherwise can't go, physically, certainly, emotionally, spiritually even. And I just have to trust that ticket. And
give us two tickets to heaven.
Well, let's see. This is the poem that is kind of featured on the back cover of Patchy Ways, because I just really enjoy the notion of both affection, being in love, and also being out of doors. This one first appeared in Reflections and then, as I say, in Patchy Ways, and it's all kind of about the love of the moment. It's titled Hats or Trees. We are alive, my love. And there is your chin. Or porch lights turned on. And your grin as far as fields or trains can see. What more than this can ever be, my love? This overhum of time that through whatever ways will become in dusk the breeze of hats or trees, my love. This just right here, this now, my love, and what's to come, and we're alive. And so, my love, these O's that blend, how mornings glow or evenings hum as all the gathers breathe.
This overhum of time, more please, more please.
Here's one. Give me just one second. While I'm looking, could I just briefly introduce Poetry X Hunger? Would that be okay?
You just took that right out of my head. Okay. Let me just tell them that you are an activist in this world to wipe out hunger, and you're using poetry to do that. And so please, let's have a station break while you talk about this fantastic nationwide movement, which is using poetry.
I have a background in agriculture, farming, hunger, food security or insecurity, and also have been writing and loving poetry for the many years as well. And after I retired, I decided I wanted to pull the two together, the two worlds together, namely because as I began to look for poems about empty stomachs, I couldn't find too many. There certainly are some, but not as near as many as there should or could be. And so to make that long story short, working with the United Nations and others, I've kind of tapped into the world of poets and their amazing talents. And we now have, I think, close to 400 poems on the Poetry X Hunger website. And much more important than just posting them there, which is a first step, but it's not the final step, we're putting those poems to use. They're being used in all kinds of venues, everything from classrooms to community meetings to hunger conclaves, houses of worship, you name it. But we've also just recently proven that those poems can help open up not only minds and hearts, but wallets and purses. We've used them to raise considerable funds for Feed the Children and a DC-based group called Roots for Life. So as I said at the beginning, I recognize, acknowledge that I come from a very privileged background. One way that I have of perhaps giving back is this notion of rousing the wonderful poets out there worldwide in response to a hunger. We have a logo of Poetry Hunger, Poetry X Hunger, and it's fighting hunger one poem at a time.
Hiram, there are many things you do. And after this, if people want to hear more about it, they can get in touch with me and I will put them onto your website. Can you give us the website?
Yeah. The Poetry X Hunger website is just www.poetryx, the letter X, hunger. That's all one phrase, poetryxhunger.com. And we're always looking for new poems to be submitted. There's a submission window there on the website.
And what does the X represent?
It's just kind of Xing out hunger.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, give us a poem, and then we want to talk about something else that I know.
All right. Here's one. I grew up in Central Virginia, and though I didn't live in the rural setting, more of a suburban setting, I loved visiting. We weren't far from rural spots, and so I think back about those and reminisce about them. This one is love of that setting, a rural setting, country type setting, but also the whole notion of trying to find my place in that area or in that world of rural. It's titled Country Stores. I live in meanwhile. My time frays with its undoing. My breath slantly breathes, and these turned pages just suggest me. I hide in the midst of and peek through jaunts or schemes. My sacks are full of longed for. My train whistles, and I travel towards wishing on halfway betweens. Better said, I love country stores that sell the smell of then or just so.
Hiram, yeah, a big proportion of your time is spent also exploring the legacies of slavery nearby. And there is something called Voices of Woodlawn, which you put on the map, and we need to hear more about that.
I was lucky enough, Grace, a few years back, before the pandemic, to take a writer residency offered by the Inner Loop, a DC-based group, at Woodlawn Plantation, Historic Plantation, just across the river from Mount Vernon, owned by and built by relatives of George Washington. And it was a week-long residency. The last day there, I invited four wonderful African-American poets to come in and visit. Well, one right off the bat said, she simply couldn't. It was just too difficult, too fraught. The other three were very brave. They came, they wrote. It was difficult. The work that resulted was amazing. I know I'm biased, but I just think it's amazing. And so we assembled it into a program, included some art that also came as a result of the visit, and music through the wonderful auspices of Cliff Bernier and his harmonica, into a program called Voices of Woodlawn, which is not only about the history of slaves who basically their lives are unknown. There were 90 slaves at Woodlawn serving 9 whites. And those 90 slaves, they know virtually nothing about them. And so we not only grapple with that omission, historical omission, but also what does that mean to us today? And what's the legacy impact of that kind of situation even today? And so it's been a powerful program that's been viewed online. Of course, we've done most of it in the Zoom sphere, but we've been able to showcase it literally kind of around the world, and we're still presenting it.
You had tours.
Yes.
So you actually take people there along with presenting the poetry.
Yes.
So,
and we've also been invited to other historic plantations like or facilities like Marietta House in a place called Laurel, Maryland, that also was a slaveholding plantation. And we walked the grounds there and presented our poems as guest visitors accompanied us. It was pretty moving. Yes. Yes.
Thank you for your work.
Sure.
Let's have a final poem. We're talking to poet, activist, visionary, Hiram River.
It wouldn't be complete. This time with you, Grace, which is so graceful, wouldn't be complete without a poem about frustration, the love of frustration. This one's titled Splashed Paint. Heaven in hell. What a day it's been. A devil of slams and broken down stuff. Starting off with that shorted out curse of sparking bolts. And then those cracks in bricks that somehow started leaking. And even more, that bam of a what the devil crash. And then, oh then, how paint somehow, dear God of spills, got loose. Yes, sir. A day of days when I swear I give up ended all of the dire and misery by stomping its hat flat dead for good.
That is the voice of Hiram LaRue, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipid Fund, by the Rivada Foundation of the Logan Family, by Natalie Canivore and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin is our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.